Man, thank you, sister, for minding the Lord. And thank you for singing for us tonight. Stand with me, if you would, Romans chapter number 9, or chapter number 1. And y'all pray for me tonight. I do feel a little better than I did Sunday. And Jerry told me last night it was just pitiful what all I said under medication on Sunday. He said, "Preacher, you won't believe what all you said." And I don't know what I said. Amen. I do know this. The Lord helped me. And it's sure good to see Deepa get saved. And we was fellowshipping a little bit last night as we was getting ready to go out and do our soul winning and make some visits. And hadn't really dawned on me just the way it's all come together. I think we've had 5 people saved in the last 6 weeks. And we give the Lord all the glory and the honor for that. And I hope in the next 6 weeks there's 10 more saved. And I know this, there's a lot of sinners that we know that need saving. And I'm glad I've got a message I can give to them that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And I'm glad that we have that message to give this world this evening. All right? I want to preach along that line. We're calling October is harvest month for us. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to lift up your eyes on and look upon the harvest. And this is a statement he made. He said, "For the harvest truly is plenteous." But he said, "There's a problem." He said, "But the laborers are few." And I believe tonight that the harvest is plenteous. That word plenteous, the harvest is truly is plenteous. That means it's out there, it's abundant. The harvest is ripened to the point that somebody better go pluck it before it perishes. And tonight, can I remind you and I that all around us this evening, around this place, there are sinners that need the gospel. There are people that have not had the privilege yet to receive that which God has allowed you and I to receive. And if God will help me, I think one of the reasons we fail so often in this matter is what I want to deal with tonight. Romans chapter number 1 and in verse number 13, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. As he said, "Now I would not have you ignorant brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." And listen to what Paul said. This should be our thought verse tonight, our seat verse tonight as we preach from these verses. But he said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I know verse 16 is a familiar verse, but I want you to bear with me. I read verse 13. I want to preach verse 13 all the way to verse 16. And I want to show you something that I believe has set the context for what verse 16 is really saying. Pray for us tonight as we try to preach the Word of God. Father, I'm so thankful tonight that you've let us come in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, for the good season of prayer. Oh, God, it's put some wind down in my soul, and God, I'm thankful for it tonight. Father, thank you for the good fellowship we've already had. And Lord, thank you, Lord, just for the privilege to be able to walk in the house of God. Lord, we ought to be in the world tonight. We ought to be on the road to hell, but your grace made the difference in our life. Father, I pray that you'd speak to the very heart of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle this evening. Father, we don't want to waste our time this evening. God, we need a message from you. Father, I believe you've laid on my heart a message, God, to stir our heart and to challenge us concerning our responsibility. And so, Lord, help us tonight, Lord, to get busy and, Lord, to realize, Lord, what you've left us in this world to do. Father, those that are here tonight that are not saved, I pray that you deal with their heart. And Lord, may you get all glory and all honor, Lord, out of this service tonight and all that you do. Lord, we promise we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. The words we've read tonight come from none other than the great Apostle Paul. And we know Paul tonight as the great missionary, the great evangelist, the great church planter, and a great soul winner for the glory of God and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about Paul, we can't think long about Paul without remembering it. There was a day when Paul was not always a missionary. Paul was not always that great soul winner, that man that preached the gospel everywhere that he went and gave his testimony at every opportunity that my friend was afforded to him. When we think about Paul, we remember the days when he was known as that religious zealot and Pharisee by the name of Saul. And we remember the days when Saul had such hatred in his heart for Christ that, and the gospel and the church and the message that, that the men of God of his day preached, that he had a desire and obtained letters that he might hunt down and hold down my friend those that called upon the name of Christ, that and bring them back to Jerusalem bound to imprison them and try to dissuade them away from this gospel that they claimed and lived by. And we consider this tonight and we understand that there's a day in young Saul's life when he said a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit of God died with that anointing upon his life, and how that Brother Gerald there, Saul seen young Steve that died with the glory and the grace of God upon his life. And the Bible said that after all of that, and Saul witnessing that and hearing all that Stephen said, and that Brother Jerry, that young Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. That is, he couldn't get away from it. And what he heard and what he said and what God did in his heart that day was working on him and moving in him, and it brought great conviction upon his life. We can go back tonight in the book of Acts in chapter number 9, and we'd understand that Paul is my friend trying to stamp out this thing of Christianity. He's trying to do away with the gospel that went out of nowhere, a light shone round about it, out of glory, and a voice from heaven that began to say, Brother Dane, that Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? To which young Saul replied, that, who art thou, Lord? And my friend, that day was a day that the light turned on for young Saul, and my friend, his life was changed from that point on. Are you listening to that? Hey, man, I'm glad when we consider that who Paul is, and God has shown you in that, and that the Lord Jesus is the one that, that made a difference in his life. And from that day, my friend, that forward, everything we know about Paul that is a result of the grace of God and the gospel that had been preached in his life and that he had received by faith that had made a difference in his life. And this evening when we consider the conversion of Paul we're also reminded that everywhere Paul went, amen, people said, Paul much learning doth make thee mad. And Paul would just point back to that day when the Lord changed his life. And my friend, people would get agitated at Paul and Paul would just stand his ground and say, but you don't understand where I come from and how the Lord has made a difference in my life. And everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. Everywhere he went, he gave glory and gave honor to the Lord Jesus Christ who had made the difference in his life. I'm glad tonight, amen, some 18 years ago now, amen, I'm glad I fell under old time, Holy Ghost. Ghost conviction. After 17 years of the gospel being preached to my young heart and my young life, amen, finally, amen, it began to settle in. And all that seed that had been sown them years began to take root. Amen, God gave me faith and I believed it and repented of my sin. And I am what I am tonight by the grace of God. Amen. Paul, my friend, wasn't great because he was a missionary. And Paul tonight was not great because he was a man of God. Amen. Paul was great and Paul was what Paul was because of the grace of God. In fact, he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew he was a zero, but the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross and the blood of Jesus had made an impact and a difference in his life. Everywhere Paul went, it wasn't Paul that Paul preached. Amen. He didn't preach his opinion. He didn't preach his own greatness. But everywhere Paul went, he told two things. And I don't know that you can separate on that. And he told of the day that he got saved, and he gave men the gospel. And tonight when we come to the book of Romans in chapter 1, and in verse number 13 down through these verses, I want to draw your attention again to verse number 14. I want you to notice that Paul believed himself as a saved man. Listen, not as a man of God, not as a preacher, not as a missionary, but he believed himself as a born again child of God to be a debtor. Notice what he said. He said in verse 14, I am debtor both to the grave and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Have the word debtor tonight. Y'all pray for me now. Amen. Pray for me. I'm getting ready to preach. The word debtor tonight, Brother Ronnie, it means a person indebted or delinquent. It means to be under obligation or to be under a duty. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that, and I have had the gospel preached to me, and the gospel made a difference in my life, and now I am indebted. I am delinquent. I'm trying to catch up. I'm a person under an obligation. I'm a person that has a duty upon my life to get busy and preach the gospel to others. The word debtor simply means and literally means to owe. Paul is saying that there is a debt that I owe. If you're a debtor tonight, that means you owe somebody something. Amen. And tonight, can I say, my friend, we believe in paying our bills. Amen. If you go get in debt, amen, it's your obligation. It's your duty. Amen. The Bible said the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Amen. It's a wicked man that tries to find loopholes and wormholes and skirt around their obligation. Amen. Listen, Paul is saying, I'm indebted. I've got something that I owe, and I must be about the business of preaching the gospel. Consider this with me tonight. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Hang with me now. Amen. I feel a special burden tonight. I'm going to get this on my heart. Are you listening? Amen. Paul said, I owe somebody something. Hey, there is a debt, and I'm past due, I'm delinquent, I must get busy fulfilling my obligation as a debtor in this matter of preaching what God has called me to preach. You see, Paul had no entitlement mentality. We live in a generation of entitlement. Amen, it's in the world. Amen, I'm owed something. Somebody better give me what I deserve. You understand that tonight? And we're living in that generation. That's why we got a generation that's laid back in the lazy boy tonight and won't get up and get a job and get busy and go to work. Amen. Because they've got an entitlement mentality. Amen. It's all over in our nation, and I believe it's in our homes, our children, and their wives, and their even husbands tonight, and have an entitlement mentality within their home. They're only interested in what they can get and what is owed to them and what they're worthy of. Amen. Can I say tonight that has no place if you're born again, a child of God tonight. Amen. You ought to be looking to serve that. You ought to be looking, my friend, what you can give that, and my friend, not what you can get. We see the entitlement mentality, sadly, is creeping into churches in our day. Our church members, and my friend, they're interested in what they get out of church. Amen. When's the last time? And listen, thank God that you got a church you can get something out of. I hope you do. Amen. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church and I couldn't get something. Are you listening? I'm not going down the First Baptist Church of the Deep Freeze. Amen. I'm not going down there. I got to go somewhere where I can get something and be fed and challenge in my walk with God. Amen. Now listen to me tonight. When's the last time you got interested, amen, in giving something and not having an entitlement mentality about what you think you're owed? Amen. It's creeping in our churches. When I'm a member, I've been a member X amount of years, and I'm owed this and I'm owed that. Amen. All you're owed tonight is hell. Amen. All you're owed tonight is a life of misery. Are it not for the grace of God? Amen. Thank God we are what we are by the grace of God. And so Paul had no entitlement mentality. Rather, Paul lived his life according to these verses, Sister Kathy. He lived his life feeling the weight and the burden that, my friend, he was indebted, amen, to take what had been given to him, the opportunity he had to hear and respond to the gospel. Amen. Listen, here's how I wrote it down. He saw himself as one who owed those around him the same opportunity that had been afforded to him. Now the greatest thing tonight I've ever been given is the gospel. You could give me $1 million tonight and I would gladly receive it if there's no strings attached. Somebody say, my friend, it would pale in comparison of the days that God let me hear the gospel. My friend, you can give me the fame of the world tonight, but my friend, it would pale in comparison to the gospel that God let be delivered to my heart. Amen. Listen, the fame of the world and a pastor away, and everything in the world's going to pass away. What I got in the gospel tonight is eternal and is everlasting. It's made a difference in my life now, and it'll make a difference in my life when I leave this world. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Paul is living his life understanding he's been given something great. And it's his. It is his Christian debt. It is what he owes. Are you listening? It is his Christian indebtedness and responsibility. Amen. And thus he proclaims, I am debtor. I want to preach on that phrase tonight and these verses first. Amen. I said I wasn't going to be long, but amen, I'm feeling a stirring in my soul tonight. Amen. Are you listening to me? Would you get something from God tonight? Amen. Paul said, I am debtor. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. Amen. If that ain't a fancy enough title for you, I'm not real good about coming up with these things every now and then. Amen. I stumble upon something. Amen. Every squirrel finds a nut every now and then. Are you listening? Amen. I'm preaching on I am debtor. Or on this thought tonight, I owe. So all for God I go. Are you listening to that, Paul? Paul said, and I've got an obligation. I've got a debt that I must pay. I don't want to be a deadbeat. I don't want to be somebody that doesn't pay my debt. I don't want to be somebody that bails out on what I am indebted to. And so he said, I owe, so off for God I go. Amen. We've got too many Christians tonight that know nothing about being a debtor. They live their life, and my friend, they never, give the gospel. And let me just slow down a minute and say this tonight, that all men are indebted. Amen. And you must understand that every man, sinner or saint alike, though in different ways, are indebted tonight. And I put it this way, sinners tonight are indebted to God. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 6, that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible said in Hebrews 9, that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. There's an Old Testament story that bears out what I'm saying on that. Over in the book of Daniel, Belshazzar, as having a party, he's living it up, and he's in his sin, and in the midst of a drunken stupor, he says, a very hand of God come down, and right on the wall, many, tackle you for sin. And my friend, he got troubled and afraid of that scene, but he didn't know what it meant, and so he called for Daniel, and Daniel interpreted it and said, and God said, thou art found weighed in the balances, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. What was Daniel saying? Daniel saying, Belshazzar, there's a debt you got to pay, and God has weighed you in the holy balances of his law and his judgment, and you've come up short, and you're indebted to God as a sinner to pay for your sin. By the way, that's a debt you'll never pay in and of yourself. Thank God when we had a debt we could not pay, Jesus went and paid it all, and all to him I owe. All my worship and all my praise, amen, is wrapped up in him. Amen, for there was a day and I had a debt, amen, to God that I couldn't settle in myself. The blood of the Lamb and the cross of Christ, amen, paid my sin debt. All men are sinners. Sinners are indebted to God. Are you listening to that? But saints are indebted to the gospel. You ever heard somebody make this statement? Listen to me now. I know what we mean when we say it. Brother Chris, here's what they say. They say, I can never repay what God did for me. And I understand there's no way that you could take all that Christ gave and weigh out everything that we could do or give, and it ever, amen, even come equivalent in offering or in sacrifice to that which Christ gave. He gave it all, and we ought to give it all. Are you listening to me? Amen. He held nothing back, and we ought to hold nothing back. My friend, when you talk about the offering that he gave, the difference said it made in their land. Can I say tonight that God has made a way for you in that? My friend, to pay it back. He's made a way in which he has made us debtors, said the very gospel we've received and has changed their land. Now listen to me now. Amen. Listen, the way Paul paid his debt was by preaching the gospel. Us taking what he had been given at that precious scene. That invaluable seed of the gospel that had been sown and planted, and my friend brought forth the fruit of redemption in his life. He said, here's what I've got to do. He said in verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready, what? To preach the gospel. Somebody else stood and preached it to him. And he said, I am a debtor. I am delinquent. I am under an obligation. And I take what has been given to me and to preach it to somebody else. Are you listening tonight? Paul is a debtor. You'll never pay God back. Amen. In the standards that you and I have, and I'm for them, and they ought to be high ones. And by the way, I think the Lord has laid it on my heart at the upcoming year. Our theme last year was moving forward, but amen, after Brother Buster's message last week, I think our theme is going to be raising the standard. We ought to be looking to raise the standard. Amen. Come on now. Amen. But listen, you can raise the standard, have every standard in the book, and you'll never, you'll never in any way be able to pay God back through the standards you have in your life. And I believe we ought to have them. Come on now. How was Paul paying back his debt? He wasn't doing it by the way he dressed. He wasn't doing it by the places he wouldn't go or would go and the things he would do and wouldn't do. How was Paul paying it back? Paul said, I've been given the gospel and now it is my debt. I am indebted to get out and preach the gospel and give it back to somebody else. And so I'm preaching an ad on I am debtor. And by the way, if you're saved tonight, you are a debtor. Amen. There's a debt you owe. Amen. Friend, listen to me today. Amen. I want to give you three things out of these verses this evening. Man, I'm feeling good in the Lord. Y'all are looking like it ain't getting that far out, but it's getting big up here. Amen. It's getting big up here, Brother Tony. Amen. I'm a debtor and you're a debtor. How you doing on paying your debt? How you doing on paying your debt? Amen. Listen, we think you're a low down. Amen. Sorry, rotten, stinking skunk tonight. Amen. If you had bills piling up that you could pay and you wouldn't pay. Amen. I know folk fall on hard times. We call you a low down sorry. Amen. Stinking skunk tonight. If you're trying to evade paying your bills. Amen. But I wonder what God says tonight. Amen. I wonder what the Holy Ghost tonight smells in our life. Amen. All the time, Seth, we go day after day after day with that debt just piling up higher and higher. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I owe. So off for God I go. Number one, watch this tonight. I see the purpose of a debtor. A purpose of a debtor. Notice what Paul said back in verse 13. He said, and I would not have you ignorant brethren. And oftentimes, watch this now, I purpose. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you saying tonight? Here's what I'm saying tonight. And if you're going to be a debtor and you're going to pay your debt, amen, there's got to be a purpose. In your life. It's got to be something greater than yourself. It's got to be something greater than your own comfort. It's got to be something that, and my friend, goes beyond you and your selfish desires and your sinful desires and your social desires. There's got to be a spiritual desire and purpose in your life and mine if we're going to pay the debt that Paul says we owe. The word purpose is an interesting word. It literally means tonight. It means to place before. It means to determine. It's used in this passage to show the burden of the Apostle Paul for sinners. What is he saying? Listen now. He said, I don't want you ignorant. I want you to be aware that it's in my heart. There is something that is purposed in my heart. I get down the road and to preach down there. Amen. And preach the gospel and see sinners saved and have fruit there like I've had among other Gentile nations. Amen. What is he saying? He said it's something that's ever before me. It's something I've placed before me. It's something I'm determined to do. It's something, listen, you ain't ever going to pay your debt, amen, as a child of God, as somebody who's been given the gospel and saved by the gospel, amen, listen, until you get purposed in your heart and be determined you're going to do it, you ain't going to do it. Nobody, I ain't ever accidentally paid a bill. Amen. Are y'all in the building now? Brother William, I've never accidentally paid a bill. Every bill I've ever paid, I either on purpose sat down and wrote a check out, or on purpose I sat behind a computer screen and typed in my password and username, and my friend hit the pay button on purpose. Are you listening? There's never been a debt I've ever paid by accident. Paul Paul is saying, I am driven by a purpose in my life. There's a burden on the inside, and I on purpose try to find opportunities to give people the gospel. Notice with me the consistency in his purpose. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. Notice the consistency of it. Hang on now. You might want to buckle your seatbelt. The Bible said, I purpose. He said that oftentimes I purposed. See, with Paul, it wasn't a finger in the wind. I'll do it if the wind's right. With Paul, it wasn't a situation of, if I feel good today, I'll be a soul winner. It wasn't Paul. Paul didn't wake up in the mornings and flip coins. Heads, I'll preach the gospel. Tails, I'll do what I want to do. Paul said, oftentimes. That means, my friend, there was a consistency in his life. And there was a purpose on the inside. A consistent burden. Oftentimes, every day, everywhere. Amen. Constantly looking for somebody to give the gospel to. Consistency. You know what's killing us in our churches? This crowd, they can get up for 1 or 2 weeks and then they die out. Until the preacher says, hey, we dwindling a little bit, and then they get feeling bad, and then they jump back in. And listen, I'm thankful for every time you've ever come. Amen. I'm thankful for every track you've ever passed out. And as debtors, we must understand there's got to be a purpose in our heart, a burden in our heart, and we get consistent at it. And it'd be more than a passing trip. It would be more than just when we feel good and feel like it. And my friend, we go all set up. Oftentimes there was consistency in his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice the conflicts to his purpose. I want to say tonight, whenever you realize that you are a debtor and that you owe, amen, it must be all for God in this thing of preaching the gospel and getting it out and carrying a burden and having a purpose and getting consistent about it, there's always going to be conflicts. Notice what he said. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hither. What's that mean? That simply means, Brother Jack, that simply means that Paul said, every time I got ready to fulfill that purpose, every time I got ready to engage in that burden, there was something that had opposed me trying to get that done. Can I remind you, if what I'm preaching tonight was easy, we'd all be doing it every day, everywhere we go. Have you ever noticed about the time, Brother Jerry, amen, Tuesday night about 6 o'clock rolls around, that's when something breaks at the house. Come on now. Amen. Have you ever noticed that on Tuesdays up toward the afternoon, that's when you feel about the worst you feel all week? Come on now. You ever notice on Saturday days, on so many, that's when, friend, there's a million and one things to get done. What is that? That's the conflicts that's got to be overcome when you get purpose. The devil don't like it. And my friend Paul said on several occasions in his own ministry that Satan hindered him and Satan opposed him. There was places he wanted to get, had a burden to get. The devil did everything he could to stop Paul from getting there. And can I say, when God, that man, shows you you're a debtor, and my friend gives you a burden for somebody, amen, and you set out, mark it down, the gates of hell are going to do everything they can in conflict to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. Amen. I'd like to preach there a little while. Amen. The devil lets your feelings get hurt. Amen. The devil occupy you with all sorts of things as a means to conflict that purpose that God has saved you to be the debtor that you are. Amen. Notice with me a consistency in the conflict. And I noted this tonight, the crowd of his purpose. Son, I like to have a fit when I saw this, and I know it ain't deep, sissy, but it sure did bless my heart. Are y'all listening? It don't take deep waters to make me happy tonight. But he said, notice what he said. He said, I purpose to come unto you. I was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other what? Gentiles. Them old dogs. Them old pagans. Them old, are you listening to me tonight? Them old heathen people and nobody wanted anything to do with. Paul said, I've got a burden for that crowd. In fact, everywhere Paul gave his testimony, he reminded men and women and boys and girls that God had given him a call on his life. A reach out to the downtrodden. A reach out to the crowd on the other side of town and on the other side of the tracks. And I say tonight, amen, you got no purpose till you realize that it's the down and outers, Seth. It's a crowd that has nothing to offer you tonight that you are indebted to. Anybody can go up to a doctor or lawyer and witness to them, and we ought to. Come on now. What about that crowd that's got piercings all over the place? Got the signs and the symbols of paganism and heathenism in their life. I'll remind you tonight, we're not reaching the same generation that was being reached 50 and 60 years ago in America. Amen, amen, amen. In them days, even the sinner man in town had a little bit of morality about him. And I know men have always been sinners, Seth. And I know tonight that the whole world has always led in wickedness, Seth. And we're dealing with people tonight that have issues they weren't dealing with back then. And Paul said, that's the crowd. That's the crowd I've got a burden for. That's the crowd I want to get to. That's the side of town that I want to get to and preach the gospel to. Can I remind you and that we ain't always been saved independent King James Bible thumping Baptists. You ain't always been saved. You ain't always sung on the choir. You ain't always been usable in the work of God. Thank God somebody somewhere, amen, some family member, amen, down the line got saved and fell under a burden for you and began to preach the gospel, and some Christian somewhere on the job, amen, when everybody else saw a drunk and everybody else saw somebody that would never amount to anything more than what you were in them days, I fell under a burden somewhere, somehow, a church and a preacher out under a burden for you and would not let up. How we throw our nose up and sneer and snicker when that crowd comes in. Amen. Listen, everybody ain't got it down and got it together like you and I do. And but by the grace of God, we would be in the same place that they're in. Amen. Amen. I mean, you take some of the crowd that's been coming up at Calvary in recent days. As we get to know them, listen, they ain't got it all together. They ain't in a place where they got money in their pockets and got everything in land in their home. Amen, Brother Larry, there's some of them that have some of the biggest bunch of mess you've ever heard of. Can I remind you that the Lord still loves him tonight? And somebody needs to get under a burden and get a purpose, and we'll do everything we can to reach everybody. Amen. The purpose of a debtor. Notice with me, and I'll spend just a moment here, and then I'll briefly mention the last one. I got a closing thought I want to end on. We see the purpose of a debtor, but notice the passion of a debtor. Notice what Paul said in verse number 15, where Paul said, so as much as in me is, notice what he said, I am ready to preach the gospel. The word ready tonight, and I'm not trying to bore you with a bunch of definitions this evening. I hope that the Holy Ghost is putting it in you like he's put it in me this afternoon. But listen to me, the word ready means to be forward in spirit. Paul wasn't backing up. He's moving forward. Paul, Paul ain't shirking his responsibility. He said, I'm ready and I'm marching forward. Paul was a man who had been opposed in every turn at the gates of hell and by the Judaizers and by men everywhere that he went. There's people trying to send Paul back home. Paul said, I ain't going back home. I'm ready. I'm set in a forward. My spirit has been moved in a forward direction. It's a word that literally means to have passion. If you'll do a word study on it, you'll find this. Hang with me now. It implies that one is breathing hard from exertion of energy. You ever get out and run? I'm looking at some of y'all, it's been a long time since you ran. Do you remember them days, Brother Will, when you used to could run? Yeah, man, come on now. My friend, you'd exert that energy, you'd be, amen, out there sweating it, and there was a job to be done, and it had to be done, and it was something that was pressing, and so, amen, through all the bumps and the bruises and the blood and the sweat and the tears, you just trudged on and exerted everything you had in you until you got the job done. And at the end of it, you're sitting there, amen, bent over with your hands on your knees, and you're breathing hard, about like I'm a preaching tonight. Are you listening? Amen, you have done exerted everything on the inside of you. Paul said, that's how I am fulfilling my job as a debtor. I'm somebody that is passionate about what God has saved me to do. You know what's killing us tonight? A lack of passion. A lack of passion. We love ourselves more than we love sinners. You might as well say, man, we love our own comfort more than we love sinners. We love our own bank accounts more than we love sinners. We love our own homes more than we love sinners. And Paul said, I'm ready. I'm giving all. I'm running and I'm out of breath. I've exerted everything I have to exert. I've given it to getting the gospel out. Amen. Everybody all right? If you want to go on home, there's the door. I'm going to finish this. Amen. Paul had a passion. It was something on the inside of him that loved the crowd and he was burning for and been jailed. He said, I'll give, I'll go, I'll do it till it hurts, I'll do it till it costs me something because I have a passion. Notice with me, first of all, two things about this passion. Number one, it was something that was magnified inwardly. You better get a hold of this. I'm about ready to expose why we struggle with this so many days. Did you catch what Paul said in verse 15? So, as much as not on me is. He said, so as much as in me is, I am ready. You know what Paul's saying, Brother Tim? He's saying there's something on the inside that drives me to go and do what God has indebted me to do. Yeah, man. You know how we can get up a week or two at a time? Oh, it's just something we let get on us. Amen. For a little while and then something comes by and slaps us in the, amen, in the jaws, Seth, and we let it smack it right off of us, Seth. And Paul said, it ain't something that's just on me. It's something that is in me. You get something in you, and my friend, until it's accomplished, it'll never be satisfied. Amen. You ever got something in you about what you wanted to do or some type of food you wanted to eat? You could eat and guard yourself on everything else. But until you get, my friend, what's on the inside, what the inside desires, what the inside's a craving, oh, my friend, nothing else should do. Amen. When's the last time you got under that burden as a debtor that you said, until they get saved, I won't be satisfied. Until that family member gets born again, I'm not going to be satisfied. He's saying, but Gerald, there's something that has been magnified inwardly about me being a debtor. When's the last time it was so big in you, you lost sleep over them getting saved? Amen. And this is harvest month, and we ought to be doing it every weekend. And I believe we got a good church, and we try to do it every week. But this month, we're putting a special emphasis on your family members you've been preaching to, and your friends you've been trying to reach, and your co-workers you got to work with every day that you give the gospel to. When's the last time it got so big on the inside you lost sleep, you lost comfort, you couldn't enjoy much of anything else in life because it was so magnified on the inside? Amen. When's the last time it was so much in us that we couldn't sleep? It's the last time it was so in us and it'd wake us up in the midnight hours. Come on now. Paul said, there's something in me. There's something in me that desires to see fruit down there in Rome. Something that consumed him. And by the way, Brother Jack, that's why he couldn't quit when people opposed him. Amen. You get something on the inside, it don't matter what tries to stop you. You'll run it right over. You'll jump over it. You'll get around it and under it. Amen. You'll do whatever you have to do because it's something that's inwardly manifested. Magnified inwardly, but then it's manifested outwardly. Come on now. So as much as in me is, what did he say? I'm ready to preach the gospel. Y'all buckle your seatbelt now. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm not just bragging about something on the inside. What's on the inside makes its way on the outside. Amen. If it's on the inside, you can't help but it coming out on the outside. You can't help but go to somebody and say, can I invite you to church? Can I give you the gospel? Do you know you're saved? Do you know if you're dead, where you'd spend eternity? You can't help it because what's on the inside always comes out. Yeah, ma'am. You say, oh, pray for this person, pray for that person. Wonderful, we will. I'm glad it's in you. If it's really in you like it ought to be, it won't just be magnified inwardly, it'll be manifested outwardly. Yeah, man. Well, preacher, I'm too old to go out and knock doors. I'm too old. You don't understand. I've already given my time. I didn't know that Paul ever come to a place where he said, I've paid my debt. There's nothing left for me to do. And I doubt we've done a thimble of what Paul did in his life. Come on now, Brother Will, we're under a debt tonight, and God help us to get a passion and to get a fervor and a fever to see sinners saved. Amen. In these days, it's something, amen, as you pastor tonight, I'm praying God would consume me with. Amen. I love seeing sinners walk the aisle. I don't know about you, but it blesses me. Amen. People, we've knocked their door and witnessed to them and invited them to see them come in and see God save them. Listen, somebody has to get a passion to see that. Amen. Come on now. You got to get a passion. Amen. You got to love sinners more than you love yourself. Amen. Two greatest commandments is what? Number one, love the Lord thy God. What's the second? Jesus said it's real close to it. Is that what he said? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who then is my neighbor? Somebody said. Amen. The Lord said, your neighbor's everybody you pass that has a need of Christ in their life. Parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody okay? Amen. The passion. Number three, the power of a debtor. How am I to pay? By what authority, what power am I to pay my debt? Notice what Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is, not me. Not my personality, not my ability, not, amen, and there are men, God help us, at my friend spend entire weeks trying to train people how to be soul winners. I got news for you, and I guess it won't hurt you to go to the class, But I'm telling you, till the Holy Ghost gets on you and you understand it ain't in the man, but it's in the message that is the power for you and I to pay our debt. Amen. That's why you can take a half sick, half crazed, medicated preacher this last Sunday and put him up with the King James Bible, don't know what he's saying other than, amen, go to Calvary and get in the crash and the blood of Jesus saves sinners, and sinners walk the aisle and get saved. Because it ain't in the man. It's in the message. It's in the message. It ain't in you tonight. You say, preacher, I know how to get it done. Well, amen, you've done crossed the line out there. You better understand, amen, it's in the power of the gospel. Paul said that it is the power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also the Greek. I'm done right here. Come on, Sister Candy. Son, I preach my heart out tonight. Thank y'all for praying for me. Amen. I've always heard verse 16 preach something along this line, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I've always heard it preached, Paul was saying that he wasn't ashamed of the actual gospel. Of course he wasn't ashamed of the actual gospel. It's all about the Lord Jesus. The word shame literally means, Paul said, I don't have to get red-faced. I don't have to bow my head about what I'm writing to you about. I'm not ashamed because I've been doing my job. I've been paying my debt. I've been fulfilling what I owe. So when I get the judgment seat of Christ, Paul said, I'll be able to stand there and not be ashamed that I didn't pay my debt to the gospel of Christ. I've heard it quoted, Brother Tim, in camp meetings, everybody shout, "Whoa! I'm not ashamed of the gospel," and they ain't passed out of track in months. They ain't knocked a door in weeks. Amen. There are churches that have abandoned soul winning, abandoned getting the gospel out. There are preachers that, my friend, preach about it and don't do it. My friend, God help us on the day of judgment. There's going to be a lot of us with our heads bowed and our faces turned red when God said, you're a low-down, sorry, stinking skunk for not paying your debt. Paul said, not me. That's why I could get over and write to young Timothy, I finished my course, fought a good fight. What did he say? I'm ready to be offered. Yes, I've done what God saved me to do. I've paid my debt. I owe. So off for God I go. How you doing tonight on paying your debt? If I understand right, now don't get mad at me now. Y'all have had times in this church where you had to sit men down and say, you got 30 days to pay your bill, the people you owe in the community. You got 30 days to get it caught up, or we're voting you out of the church. Am I right? I think I've been told that more than one occasion. What about if we sat down, and that's serious and that's important, but how much more serious is what we're indebted to where the gospel's concerned? Brother Jerry, I wonder how many church members we'd have to sit down and say, you got 30 days to pay your debt to the gospel, or we're voting you out of this church. Good quiet crowd we got. We ain't running aisles, are we? Come on now, what's more important? What's more important now? I'm telling you, God is burning this in me. I'm tearing myself up much as I'm tearing some of y'all up, making you bad nervous. What if we set you down and examine how you're paying your debt to the gospel and you seen how short and delinquent you were? Say, you got 30 days, pay up. You got 30 days, pay your debt up. If you don't get caught up on it, we're throwing you out. Whoa! I got one blessing, Lord. Paul said, I'm a debtor. And I ain't ashamed of it.
I've been paying it. I ain't red-faced about it.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to put my head down. Boy, some of y'all's put your head down tonight. Can I say we ought to put it down on this altar and say, God, put it in me. God, I'm tired of it just getting on me for a short time. Put it in me that I get busy and do my job. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hey, I love you now. We preached it pretty strong tonight. But Mark, we've got about down where the rubber meets the road. Would we do business with the Lord tonight? Father, I love you. And bless you tonight for the Word of God. I need this, Lord, as much as anybody. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me. Help every man, woman, boy, girl. Lord, got a lot of young folk that come out every week. Lord, I pray you'd put in them, Lord, the sense of a debtor, that they just wouldn't come to, Lord, out of habit, and Lord, they just wouldn't come to please the preacher. Lord, I'm thankful they come. Lord, put a sense of indebtedness in all of us, that God, we'd get the message out. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. God, please, tonight, help us. Strengthen the heart of our church tonight, Lord, in this matter. Preaching the gospel, sending the gospel out, giving others around us the same opportunity that we've had, not only to hear, but to respond to the gospel of Christ. I love you, Lord. Help us now in Jesus' name. There's several that have come tonight. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord this evening? How you doing on paying your debt? How we doing tonight? How we doing tonight keeping up? Are you delinquent tonight? God tonight send you something in the mail about how you're paying your debt. Down at the bottom, some of them bills, they got them little squares. But Jordan, they got them little squares down there that say 30 days past due, 60 days past due, 90 days past due, 120 plus days past due. I wonder if God sent us something in the mail and we got it tomorrow. I wonder how far past due God would say we are. I am debtor. I owe, I owe. So all for God I go. All right, you can look this way tonight. I believe that's all that's come up off the altar.